www.radiougly.com. The interview I've been waiting for, actually, for quite some time. We do have Al Atkins from Holy Rage on the phone with us. Al, say hi.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
How the heck are you? Thank you so much, man, for taking the time out to talk to us here at RadioUgly.com. That's really, really great. I got to tell you, I was very excited. I think I was contacted by possibly a publicist of yours.
Yes.
Yeah, and he said I had the opportunity to talk to Al Atkins, and I couldn't believe my luck, my friend. I got to tell you that. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Thanks.
Holy Rage. This is something I actually spoke with Chris a little while back as well, the guitarist.
Oh, yes.
Something, a new project of yours, last 2-3 years?
It is. It's been a couple of years now, yes. Well, we started it. I did my fifth sort of solo album, Demon Deceiver. And we decided to put, I decided to put a band together and to promote it. And I just called the band the Al Atkins Band, which is a little bit pretentious and a little bit not sounding very good.
Yeah.
The first year, we went through 2 or 3 different sort of lineups until we got to the stage where it was just 4 of us, and that's me, Chris, and Mickey Al's drums, and Scott Dello on bass. And I said, this is a cracking band, and we've done sort of the promotion work for it. I said, for the album, like, and I said, but I think we should carry on. And I said, let's think of a good name, and a double battle name, like Sabbath or Priest or something of the old days, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I came up with this one, Holy Rage, you know. I thought it was good. Everybody went, yeah, and it just clicked. So the last couple of years now, we've just been playing and just enjoying ourselves.
Have you been, has this been something, have you done a couple change-ups with bands over the last 10 years or so? Have you just taken kind of a break? I think you were doing something prior to Holy Rage, weren't you?
I've always been doing something, whether it's just a bit of touring or something. Before the Holy Rage, it was like a year as the Al Atkins Band. And then before that, I was with Dennis Stratton from Iron Maiden.
Yep.
And we did a little bit of touring in the UK. We did some stuff on the East Coast of America, which was really good. Really enjoyed that. We was going to form a band after we finished this sort of a mini tour. We was going to call ourselves The Denial. And Dennis had his commitments, and I sort of was doing my album at the time and everything. So we never sort of got it together, like, you know. But, I've been doing a lot of stuff, you know.
I heard when you came over to the States, one of the artists here on the station, Jugular, you hung out with Monster a little bit.
Oh, brilliant guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Great band as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's great. I've had the opportunity to talk to him on a number of occasions. What a great guy.
He is a great guy. And the manager, Charlie.
Yes,
fantastic.
Charlie's great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a lot of sort of problems when we played in Hollywood last time.
I heard you lost a little gear.
Did Chris tell you about it? It was the worst rain for 30 years. I said, well, we bought a British Weber with me. And we lost the gear and stuff. And there was bands like Jugular and Imagica, and also we was playing with the Tash Taylor Band with Graham Bonney.
Yep.
And they all sort of chipped in bits and dabs of gear so we could play.
That's incredible. That's great. And it's always amazed me, the camaraderie that comes out with you guys. I was just at a festival yesterday. 12 bands played. And it's like everybody just kind of arm around one another, trading off gear. And it's great. It really is.
We're just on the same. We played Saturday night at the Britfest. We had the same sort of thing. It was absolutely fantastic. We played with Oliver Dawson Saxon, an old band, Demon, Requiem, and there was young bands on there as well, Hostile, and it was fantastic, you know. It is, everybody seems to just get on and, you know, have a great time, like,
that's
you
great.
Know.
How's it feel to be kicking ass and taking names as many years as you've done this?
I feel privileged.
It's got to be amazing.
I've been in the business for 45 years.
Yeah.
And my voice is still holding out. I mean, I think what helped me was stopping smoking about 15 years ago, because I lost a lot of my top notes. But it's very gravelly, but I've got my top notes come back as well now. So I'm enjoying my singing now more than I've ever done in all the 45 years, I must admit. And I enjoy my music just as much. What I started out, that was what I was going to do. I wanted to get into music, I want to enjoy myself, and that's what I'm still doing now.
I know we're here to promote Holy Rage, but I got to tell you, we've got a couple tracks that were submitted to the station, and as I brought them out this week on RadioUgly.com, it's amazing how there's one guy, he said he sat there and closed his eyes and listened to Give Them Hell, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And it just sent chills up his arms because he said, that's Judas Priest. He said he still has the pipes. So for what it's worth, man, you got some new fans all over again. You really
fantastic.
Do.
The actual song I wrote in about a day, and I chucked it to the band, and I said, what do you think of this one? They went, oh, my God, we've got to do this. So we went and recorded it, and we put it out, and everybody's playing it, and it's fantastic.
Now that track, that's kind of got a story behind it, doesn't it?
Well, it's all about it's for the troops and everyone else who sort of out there fighting the Taliban and whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it'd be a great track to, you know, to help them, like, you know, fight the war type of thing, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
And, you know, it was just that somewhat come to me, and I thought, Holy Rage, that's got that same sort of the name, the tracks, you know, Give Them Hell. And,
yeah, we got to find
works,
a way.
I think, you know?
We got to find a way to get that on every iPod of every infantryman over there, because
that would be fantastic.
that would definitely be one going into the.
I'm not doing this for publicly, you know, publicity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing it that way.
Yeah.
It's just something I felt. I write a lot of stuff about different things, and that was one of the things that come to me. I did it, and I said, great, but what we're going to do now is we're putting the video together, which is absolutely looks fantastic at the moment.
I can't wait.
I think Blabbermouth picked up on it, and he played some of it, but we hadn't finished it, but we still got a great response. We had 3,000 hits on YouTube, I think it was, or something, a night. And I said, hang on, we haven't even finished this yet. Chris has sort of done half of it, but I think we've done it all now. I think it's nearly completed now.
That's
so it'd be fantastic to let people just watch the video as well, you know.
I see.
We've been actually doing some of the videos by people who, a guy called Axe from New York, who was a firefighter in the Twin Towers there, and he's got footage that he recorded himself, so it's not all pre-recorded stuff. This is first-time stuff, some of this is.
Wow. I see you've actually got an autobiography, A Dawn of the Metal Gods.
Yes.
I tell you what. I'm going to be buying. You're going to see an order from the States really soon. You really are.
Thank you.
And it's going to come to me because I have to read that book. How did that come about?
I was on a radio station about 4 years ago in Liverpool, the John Kirkman show.
Yeah.
And he was talking like we are now. And he was asking me about the early years of Priest and all this, and I was giving him all the info, and I said, a lot of people make it up, and he said, you really need to do it properly and write down, you know, because Judas Priest have never done it. And people that make things up sometimes, you know. I mean, I've had some bad press. I mean, I've had some people saying, oh, Al Atkins going to write a book. Yeah, he joined Judas Priest, played a pub and left. That's
yeah.
his book. I went, no. You haven't read this book yet.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories in there will make people amazed that people like K.K. Downing came to the first auditions and he never got the job. It was a year after before I got him in the band. When he learnt a little bit more, you know.
Did it be?
But,
was
a lot of stories like that, but people don't know about. Maybe he don't want to talk about them.
Yeah. Was it one of those things
there. There's
where
nothing bad about, no bad press about anybody in there. It's just good stuff, you know.
Was it one of those things where, you know what, if I don't write this down, I'm not going to remember it? You know, there's got to be so much history. There's going to be so much history.
When you get older, you sort of, what happened there? But what I did do, I contacted Road Crew.
Yep.
We had like Trevor Lund, he was one of our old roadies, and he remembers a lot of things because he left after about a couple of years with the band, but he remembered some of the very early things, you know. There was Keith Evans, and when he left Judas Priest, he was Angus Young's personal roadie after us. So he remembered a lot of stuff as well, and it was old managers. I mean, Tony Iommi, who was like looked after the band for a year. We played the Sabbath, and we played it at the Hippodrome. He got us some good gigs. He did. Tony did. He thought we was like going to make it big in the early days, but we never sort of got the deal. We did demos and stuff, and they weren't brilliant, but we never got the deal we wanted, you know. So it was a shame, really.
Being part of, let's say, you know, Judas Priest, okay, and when you guys got to tour and you guys got the gigs, and now being able to come back and doing it again with another group, Holy Rage. In a short, I know we could go on for hours about this, but in a few sentences there, how would you rate the music industry compared to what it was to what it's turning into now, and how much harder is it to get out there? I mean, if anybody's seen the change over the last 30 years, it's you.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, when we was like in those early days of Judas Priest in the 70s, when I was with them, I mean, one of the reasons I left because we couldn't get that deal. We hadn't got the support. We hadn't got the backing. And I was married with a kid. And everybody else is just young, free, and single. And I needed to feed, like, three mouths instead of one. So I decided at the end, if you're not going to get this deal, and, you know, there was a lot of tension going on in the band, I said, look, I'm going to quit. I left the band. Those times are really, really hard. And I think sometimes Judas Priest don't talk about them, but it's, to me, it's like doing any sort of job. The preparation is the hardest thing you do. You can you want to paint a wall, you've got to prepare that wall first before you put the paint on it, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think those days we worked really, really hard. I mean, in 72 we did 150 gigs in the year, which was a lot of gigging.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At the time, there was no computers, yeah. No mobile phones, you know? The bands now have got it pretty good, I think. I mean, we had, like, sort of, in England, we had one magazine, Beat Instrumental, and we had two sort of paper magazines, which were NME, I think we had three, we had Sounds, NME, Melody Maker. You've got to get in them, you've got to get advertised and stuff like that, but now there's so many metal magazines, it's fantastic, you know, for the kids now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they got all this stuff where they can put on computers, and I know some bands who have made it just by selling the stuff on PCs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you're correct about that. I've seen a lot of them they've made it just right online, but
yep.
It's got to be something for you to see all the changes you've had to go through personally to keep up with the times and to doing it a different way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the sound-wise as well is much, much better. I mean, can you imagine, I played with some great bands like Thin Lizzy. Can you imagine them playing now with the sound that people have got now?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to lug our PA systems around with us and everything, a couple of 100-watt PA systems, you know.
Yeah,
set
yeah.
Set it up their own, but now, I mean, we're talking like megawatts, you know what I mean?
You've got
some of the bands from the old days would sound terrific, I think, now.
You just got back from Brit Rock 2009?
Yeah.
That looked like a big gig. That looked like a huge show.
It was good. It was very, very good. Really enjoyed it.
And you're going, what are we doing? You've got three tracks. I understand you got a CD that's coming out early August.
10th of August, yes.
10th of August. Are you going to be doing any local touring or other touring to promote this CD?
Oh, yes. What we have been doing is just taking it gig by gig. If gigs come in, we'll just play them, you know. But what we really need to do is to get a tour put together. We had a promoter in America who was going to put one together for October, but unfortunately that's been cancelled. And so we've got rid of him now.
I've seen that.
We've got two or three other promoters who have stepped in and said, look, we think we can do something with you. But maybe it's going to be 2010 before we actually put, you know what it's like to put a tour together. It's very difficult,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But we're just going to keep gigging, just going to keep playing. We've got a big gig in November. That's the Rock of Ages gig. And that's all for charity. We do it all for cancer research. But there's a lot of bands on. We're second from top of the bill on a Saturday night. There's a two-day festival. That's in London. And we're looking forward to that one. But we've got other gigs coming through as well. Smaller ones, but good.
You've got some sponsors on here. You do have a label.
Yep.
Yep, so that's working out well. I'm just kind of going through here. The imagery is great on your page. I love the pictures. It looks like you really get out there with the fans.
We do.
Holy Rage Live in Hollywood, California. That was last year, correct?
That was last year with Graham Bunny, yes.
That's great. I love your page. It's going to be myspace.com/ Alan Atkins Holy Rage. Al Atkins, I'm sorry.
Al Atkins, Holy Rage. That's
Al
right,
Atkins,
yes.
Holy Rage. You've got a full schedule here of interviews and gigs. That's really great. And I tell you what, I thank you very, very much for calling in and spending some time with us here on RadioUgly.com.
Well, thanks, Max, for asking me on there, man.
That's really great.
I hope we can speak again soon.
I really look forward to that. What we're going to do is we're going to promote it here on the station, and with any luck, in a month or two, maybe we can call back and say hi and see how it's going. You know, I'd be really interested when 2010, when that U.S. tour actually gets written in stone. That would be
That's really great.
That would be really great. I think I'd travel to see that. And I tell you what, you're going to see that order for that book. You got those in stock?
We have got them in stock.
Okay, because I'm going to be getting that. Thank you very much. I feel like I have spoken to one of the metal gods of my time. I'm telling you, man, you got some great fans out there still. Thank you very much, Al.
Thank you, Max. Thank you.
Good luck, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
And you, bye.
Bye-bye.